Morning. Wake you up a little bit, scare you. We are finishing up our sermon in Ephesians. And I'm kind of sad because I've really enjoyed Ephesians. I mean, I've had you preach or you study through a study, and you find out at the end of it just how much you changed going through it and how it affected you. And Ephesians is one of those letters that it had an impact on me just going through it. And I would encourage you just to take it and read it yourself. Just read it in its entirety and then just take from it. And we are finishing. This is the third sermon in the prepare for battle, because we're closing Ephesians, and Paul closes it out with this call to battle. Because he's basically laid out an argument that if you're going to live this way, it's going to be a fight. And to get ready. And I'm going to hammer on those points again because it's my last opportunity. So you're going to get to hear things, because I believe in repetition. And it's a way for us to remember. And I hope you would think it would get into your mind. And most of all, I pray that it would change your heart and the way that we live. And so let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Just the thought that God would become flesh and take his dwelling amongst us, and that he would live the life you and I could never live, and that he would sacrifice himself upon the cross for our sin. But not only that, he would go into the grave and he would rise again, defeating death once and for all. And just by putting our faith in him, we have life, eternal life, a new way of living. And so, Lord, I pray as we look at spiritual warfare, Lord, you'd first make us conscious of there is a battle going on around us, and that we need to be engaged in the fight. And I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to that, and that you would teach us, Lord, what it is that you want us to know. Most of all, Lord, I pray that as we look at prayer, that you would burden our hearts for prayer and look at it as something not as an inconvenience, but as like a breath that we take. If we stop breathing, we die. Our spiritual lives, Lord, help us to pray. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, prayer can go in a hundred different directions. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Excuse me. And if you have your bulletins, you can look on the back and there's a little outline. I would encourage you to look at the outline. Follow me as I go through it and write notes on there, little thoughts that come to you. Write them down. And then go back and look at them. I would encourage you to do that. And so let's go ahead and read these verses. And prayer goes in a lot of different places. But we're looking at prayer this morning in the context of spiritual warfare. So that's the mindset that we have to have. Prayer in spiritual warfare. That's the context in which we use it. And just to give a plug for next month, we're going to start a new thing called Fresh Encounters on Sunday night. And that's going to go more in depth on prayer. I would encourage you, coming next month, around the 9th, I haven't really decided, but it's coming next month. You'll see it in the bulletin and we'll start advertising. We're going to start doing Fresh Encounters on Sunday night. So I'm just plugging that in to get you thinking, because I believe prayer is foundational to the church. It's foundational to our lives every day. And without prayer, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And so we have to be people of prayer. And it's deeply on my heart. And I want you to think about that. And I want it to be on your heart. Starting in verse 10, I'm going to just read this 6. Starting in verse 10, and we'll go through till 20. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like an armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, and with it you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And here's where we're focusing. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that my message may be given to me, and when I open my mouth, it will be made known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. And we see this is the last sermon here in Ephesians. And I just want to kind of do a recap. Let's do a recap again, starting in chapter 4. Just kind of skim with me. We're told right off the bat that this whole way of living is to walk in a new way. And he tells us in the beginning of chapter 4 that we are to walk worthy of the calling we've received. We've received the calling in our lives, and we're to live our lives worthy of that calling. Worthy of that calling. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, according to one another in love, dignity, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope, you are calling in your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. We are called to one calling in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to live a life worthy of that calling. We are to live this new life. We are to walk differently. There should be something different about us. We should not be the same. We should have a life of repentance. You don't hear a lot of that talked about in our churches today, but we are to repent of our own way of life. Christ didn't come for us to have salvation and just continue living the way that we were living. He's called us to a whole new way of life. To repent, that means to turn from your ways that you were walking. It's doing it, if you're in the military, you had anything to do with the military, it's doing an about face. You're walking in one direction and you turn totally the opposite direction. You're no longer even looking at the old way of life, but you have turned from it. And you're moving in a whole new direction. The direction that Christ has called us. We're to turn from old ways. Not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But he tells us in chapter 5 that we are to imitate Christ. We are to be imitators of Christ. We are to walk in love as Christ walked in love. We are to walk as children of light as Christ was the light. We are to walk not unwisely, but as wise people. It means we've been tested and tried. And we have relying upon the Holy Spirit through Christ to walk in this new life. We are to be filled with the Spirit. I know for Baptists that scares us. We think we're going to start talking in tongues and all kinds of things are going to happen. But what it is that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason we know we have the Holy Spirit in our life is that we have joy and thankfulness. And we're encouraging to others. especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we want them to see him walking in the joyness of Christ. Nothing's worse than to hear a Christian say, "I'm a Christian," and have the saddest face in the whole world. You wonder, what happened to your joy? Because we should be the happiest people around. I mean, everybody should want to bump into a Christian because they're so happy, they're joyful, because of what we have with Christ in our hearts. And you know, you're thinking right now of somebody that you know is just, "Well, man, that person's not joyful at all." My mother-in-law, no. I have a great mother-in-law, don't say that. Paul tells us how it looks. He gives us this new charge for this new life. And then he says, he tells us how it should look in relationship. That's what I love about Scripture. It just doesn't leave you hanging, but he tells you how it should look in relationships. What should a marriage look like if you have joy, thankfulness, and encouragement? What does that look like when you're submitted to one another and you're in God's order of things and you're living out the gospel in your marriage and your life and with your children and in your workplace? He tells us how it's supposed to look like. But he tells us also, he gives us a warning that he tells us if we start living this way, you are going to be opposed. The enemy is not going to like this at all. In fact, you're going to enter into a battleground. He tells us we're going to be at war. None of us like war. But when you've entered Christ's army, you've entered into a battleground. It's not a playground. There's casualties. There's injuries. It's all kinds of things that are going to take place that you're not going to like. But you're called to that. You're called to that battleground to be something different, to stand for Christ. And so we see that he starts in verse 10. He says the word "finally," but really that word should say "from henceforth." It's not the final. It's from this time on. You're to live this way. And I love the next word because it says "be strengthened." And really what that word is to be empowered. Not with your own power, but powered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by God to be able to stand the enemy. And that's where we are to do. We're to stand and resist. You know, in that word it says resist is also to withstand. It's not just to fight, but it's to withstand the attack. To know that if I'm strengthened by God, if I'm empowered, he's going to empower me to stand and resist, to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And he's going to clothe me with his armor, his righteousness, to protect me. So we're charged to wear it and to stand. And how is this possible? How is this all possible? What enables us to stand? What enables us to put on the armor of God that we talked about last week? How does that all come together? How do we live this new life? And the answer is prayer. Prayer is the communication that we have to God. It enables the power of God to come into our lives and allow us to stand. We are to be Spirit energized, Spirit enabled, and Spirit directed. That means we have to be in communication with our Lord and Savior. And that can only be done in prayer. So prayer is so important. You can't even put it into words. And to think that the average American will spend more time in the shower than he will in prayer just troubles me. When it's the very lifeline that we have to walk this walk. Prayer is communication or power. We are to communicate with God. We have an open line to him, to communicate with him. And what it is when we start to pray, what happens is we start to draw near to God. We come closer and closer to him through prayer. We talked last week about standing in Christ. Remember when we said when we're clothed in Christ, when we're standing in Christ, we're clothed with him. And so we have everything that we want, everything that we need for this spiritual battle by having Christ in the center of our life. If we're standing in Christ and we're clothed with Christ and He is working through us, we have the full armor of God. Because He is truth. He's our righteousness. He's our peace with God. He's our shield, our salvation. He is the Word of God. In Christ, we have the full armor of God. And that means we have to be centered in Christ. Because He's the one that empowers and fights for us. It's an open line. I know that many times I envision of like coming into God's presence. But in reality, we're always in God's presence. It's an open line. You never have to ask, can I come in your presence? You're already there. All you have to do is speak, and He hears you. That's a great comfort to know that the God of the universe, all I have to do is say, Father, and He listens to what I have to say. That should be an encouragement to all of us, and just know that He's listening. Through prayer we have, through Christ we have an open line. We are always in His presence. The Scripture tells us here we're always to be on our guard and we're always to be in a state of prayer. That doesn't mean that you walk around like this all the time. A state of prayer is just being mindful of your surroundings. Look around you and pray for things. Have you ever just like walked around the store and I start seeing a mess in store. You get up in Linda and some of them other places. I just start praying for people. I do. I don't think that's silly. I go by a car accident. I don't know about you, but I start praying for the people. Because there could be someone injured there. And I'm a Christian, and that's what I should be doing. I don't even know who they are. But I pray for all the rescue workers. I pray for the people in the car. But we all should walk around in a state of prayer looking, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you see them struggling, it shouldn't be trying to fix their problem immediately. The very first thing that we should do is in our minds, we can start praying for them. Lord, be with them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, give me the words to say to them that will comfort them, that will strengthen them. Tell me what I need to say to them. Lord, be with them. We can say those things in our mind and still have a conversation with them. But we should be in a state of prayer, praying for them. We also have to realize that prayer changes lives. And the more you pray, the more you see lives changed. I told you about my cousin. Some of you remember she was in desperate times this summer. She was to the point where she was buying cat food for food. My mom caught wind of this. Someone in our family is buying cat food. And I don't mean to embarrass her, but nobody knew. My mom started to pray and she called me just distraught that someone in our family was in that condition. And nobody had helped her. So I got on the phone. We prayed on the phone and I called the local Baptist church and said, can you get some food over to them? To her. She lives at this address. It comes to find out the church is within walking distance of her house. They bring a basket of food over to her. Next thing you know, she starts attending church there. My mom leads her to Christ on the phone, and she belongs to that church now, and she was baptized in September. Her life is changed. She got a job. But she had no way of getting there. My mom called me and said, let's pray for her to get a vehicle. She went to the local auto dealer. There was a car there for $2,000. She had no money. She went home and there was a check in the mailbox for $500 from a prior settlement. She went back to the dealer and the dealer gave her the car for $300. And people tell me prayer doesn't work. It works. You've got to use it, though. So many of us we let our minds tell us it won't work, and then we hear about these things, oh, that's somebody else. No, that's just an average person that happens in Christians' lives all the time. And we should be sharing those stories with each other. That's not a Terry's story. It's not a unique story. We all have them. If you've truly prayed and used that, you know prayer changes lives. It changes things. It's just believing in it and letting God do the work. We need to pray in the Spirit. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit draws on God's resources. God has so much more than me, and He can provide things I can't do. But money's not an object to God. Time is not an object to God. Powers and all the other things are not objects to God. He gets through them all. And we are, when we pray to Him and asking Him, we're becoming dependent upon Him. And I'm telling you, when we depend upon God, I swear He smiles. Because I know when I'm at my wit's end, I can almost feel Him smiling when I'm finally like, Lord, okay, it's yours. I'm dependent upon You to get me through this. I think He loves that. I think He just chuckles. And He gets us through it. Only through the Spirit can we pray the will of God. Can we pray the will of God? Look at Romans 8. If you have your Bibles, 8, 26 and 27. And I'll read it for you. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, you should. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. Because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. He also searches the hearts and knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Only in the Spirit can we pray the will of God. As we yield our hearts to Him, the Spirit moves in us and moves us and intercedes for us. Remember, when we pray to God, we're not praying to change God's mind or twist His arm. We're praying to change us. And that's what He does. As we draw near to Christ, He changes our hearts and our minds. He changes us. And our will no longer becomes our own will, where we're selfish and we only care about ourselves, but we actually start to care about what will the Father has in our lives and in the lives of others. And as we get closer and closer to Him through the Spirit, we are able to pray for others as we should. We go from seeking ourselves to being Christ-like, seeking to glorify the Father in all that we know, all that we do, knowing that a perfect and holy will, pressing and praising in the Spirit. Praying also in the Spirit is also an admission of ignorance. Never you've been ignorant about a situation? Let's just face it. There's times when we just face something and we go, I have no idea how I'm going to handle this. Have you ever been there? Anyone been ignorant? Yeah, everybody, okay. We've been there though, right? And that's a time when we share our dependence on God. We say, we just can't handle this. Lord, help us. And He helps us. The next part we see in this scripture, Paul tells us to stay alert and to be watchful. Remember, we're at war. We're on a battlefield. And you always have to be watchful, because the enemy is always at work trying to disrupt and destroy you. Remember, we talked about Satan, how he works. He wants to steal your peace with God. He wants to kill your joy and destroy your faith. He can't take you where he's going, but he can keep your mouth shut. If he can shut you up, he's won. Because if you're not sharing Christ with others, then what's the point of all this? We must stay alert. Look for the enemy. We should be looking in people's lives. Doesn't mean be nosy, but be mindful of what's happening around you, and especially in your church family, in your family. Look for the enemy at work and start praying for them and encouraging them. We're to pray for the saints and be watchful. We're to strengthen and encourage each other. Listen, I don't know how many, there's 70 active people here, 120 in the church. It is impossible for me to remember everybody or think of everyone at one time. It's impossible. But what God does, though, and I've seen it 100 times, is all of us together, God lays individual people up on your heart. I know it happens to me in the middle of the night. I don't know if you've ever had those where someone, you just wake up thinking about somebody. And you start praying for that person. And I try to reach out and talk to them. But God gives me somebody on my heart almost every day. And I know he puts people on your heart because you tell me. What you need to do, though, is call the person and pray for them. God has called you for that person. Maybe there's some way that you can connect with them in a way I can't. And if you are burdened by somebody, call them, pray for them, send them a card, send them a text, email them, whatever. Do whatever God has placed upon your heart and contact that person. Reach out to them. Just imagine if our church, if we all start doing that. If someone's not here this morning and you notice it, God is speaking to you. Move on that. Don't wait for me to do it. You move on it. Because that's what we're to do. We're an army of one. Taking that from the army, literally. But that's what we're supposed to do. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Just do whatever it takes. Pray for them. Understand we're in a battle and the enemy wants to pull people out. I just talked to a member of our church this week. Said that because she can't physically be here, she wants to be taken off the rolls. That totally disturbed me. I said, of all the reasons to leave a church, that's not one of them. And I refused it. I'm not going to take you off. I'm going to pray for you. And I would hope that if someone, you know other people like that, because I know as you get older, you're struggling and physical pain, and you just can't be where you want to be, and you can't help the way that you want to do things. And I just want to encourage you and tell you, you've graduated. You just don't realize it yet. You are now a prayer warrior. And that if you can't physically get there, your prayers, I'm telling you, God hears your prayers very, very clearly. And so you pray for our church. You pray for people in our church. If you're one of those people that are struggling with pain and you can't be here, God knows your heart. Don't let the enemy come along and tell you just because you're not in church that you're a bad Christian. Don't do that. But pray. Never give up praying. Never give up. Stick with it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because prayer builds our faith as we live it out in our lives. It strengthens us. We are to pray to God until he gives us an answer or until the Holy Spirit tells us to quit. Remember, prayer is not getting man's will in heaven, but it's getting God's will on earth. And Robert Law said that. I want to give you another quote about praying. I am breathing every moment, drawing all my life from thee. Breath by breath, I live upon thee. Blessed Spirit, breathe in me. A.B. Simpson said that, and I love it because praying is like breathing. That's what that is. If you stop breathing, what happens? What if you stop praying? Your spiritual life dies. It's just like breathing. It needs to be a part of our very breath that we take. We're to pray for all the saints, not just some of them. We're to pray for all the saints. All over the world, there is Christians. They're not just right here in Rockland or Northern California. We have Christians all over the world. Right now, at this time, pastors all around the world are proclaiming God's word. Are you praying for them? Are you praying that God strengthens them with boldness and that they preach the gospel? How about the persecuted church all over the world? Well, you know, over 96,000 people are literally in church in chains in some parts of the world because they proclaimed Christ. Are you praying for the persecuted church? Are you praying for the missionaries all over the world who are in places and in harm's way, and every day they're dependent upon God's strength? We need to pray for our missionaries who are sharing Christ. Remember, we're at war, and we are in a battle. And what is at stake in this battle? Have you ever thought about what is at stake? Souls are at stake. People's eternal destination rests in this battle. The enemy wants us to be quiet and complacent and happy and warm and cozy and forgetting that really what's at stake. What we do in this battle determines eternity. Did you ever think of that? People will literally go to hell or heaven based upon what we do in this time. I don't know about you, that's a huge burden. And if God has called us to this, this is what he's called us to. That's why when Paul says, walk a life worthy of your calling, that's what he's talking about. This is an epic battle. And we're all called into it. You need to pray for me. You need to pray for my family. If the enemy can take me down, a lot of you will be lost. I hate to say that, because it puts a lot of emphasis on me, but the scripture is clear. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And think about churches. How many times the news media and everybody wants to see a pastor go down? It's almost like they take pleasure in it. Or you can almost hear the enemy speaking in the words of the broadcaster. Another church has gone down. Think of all those people in that church now who are looking. Some of them will never go back to church again simply because of an incident that happened. So you need to pray for me. You need to pray for my family if the enemy doesn't get me, because he's after me. Because I have the biggest impact right here in this little church, our little family that we have here. We need to pray. We need to pray for all pastors, because I'm not the only one in this. There's a whole bunch of us. And you need to pray for their strength. You need to pray that God is with them and that he's protecting their families, because we're at war. We need to pray for our teachers. Not just our teachers here, but our teachers everywhere. We need people who are in contact with others who are teaching about Christ to teach them and to strengthen them and not let Satan shut their mouths, but to encourage them. Because remember, he doesn't want us to talk about him. I'm going to close with a charge. This is from a message from Dr. Jim Richards in Southern Baptist Convention in Texas. And I'm going to close with this, and then we'll say a prayer. I am a soldier. Here I stand. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my conduct, my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word is my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture, or I will die in this army. But I will not get out. I will not sell out. I will not be talked out. I am faithful, capable, and dependable. And if God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier. I am a prayer warrior. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. No one has to call me or remind me or write me, visit or entice or lure me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. I'm not a wimp. I'm in place saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I still come out even. I win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a warrior. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, I will be promoted to captain, and then he will bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior in this army. I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior, marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? Let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner man through the Spirit, that the Messiah would dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able above all and beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.